No, you tell it.
No, you.
I'm not telling it.
You should totally tell it.
Well, you should tell it.
No, you tell it. No, You Tell It is a series that switches up the storytelling. So each performer writes a true life tale and then, switching with a partner, performs the other person's story, giving everyone involved the chance to share their own stories and experience someone else's. Everyone has a story about going or not going to prom. For this special bookend event for the 20th anniversary of the Brooklyn Book Festival, four contributors to the forthcoming Prom Queens anthology from Poets of Queens stepped into each other's prom stories. But before we hear the first pair, give a listen as story director Erica Iverson gets to know the storytellers a bit better.
Everyone, I'm so happy that you're here. It's been such a pleasure to work with this set of stories. I had to be away from Know You Tell It for a little while, and I'm so happy to be back. Jane?
Yes?
We now get to hear your voice a little bit before we hear your story. I have learned from your bio. Also, please note, if you look at the bios online, you can learn more about our storytellers this evening, that you are an English teacher.
I am.
Yes. And with applauding, I was a high school teacher very briefly, and then I was let go. But not to tell too much about your story, but part of it is about that moment when a student realizes that their teacher is a real person. Do you have experiences of that, of some of your students confronting the fact that you're an actual human being?
In school or outside of school?
Either way.
Outside of school, this was probably in 2019. I went to we're all mostly adults here. There's a child here, but she probably won't understand. I went to a low-key play party, and before the play party started, there were demonstrations by professional performers, and one of them had approached me and was talking to me as if she knew me, and I recognized her, too, and she was like, blah, 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 and she's like, how do I know you?
Oh, no.
And then I was like, I was your senior year English teacher. And then she was shocked. She was like, I thought I knew you from the community, but I didn't realize it was the school community. And then I then saw her get flogged.
Awesome.
It was a...
I just want you to know, I did not have that story.
No, no.
That is so much more awesome than I could have even anticipated. That is amazing. All right, please choose a random question.
Oh my goodness.
All right, I'll read it, unless you want to.
Oh no.
Okay. If Poets of Queens hosts a prom in the spring to launch the Prom Queens Celebrating Prom Stories, Prom Poems and Stories by Queens Writers Anthology, and you had to take one of your fellow storytellers or a Know You Tell It creative team member as your platonic date, who would it be and why?
This is going to be just, this is a throwaway. I would pick Zach Rothman Hicks.
Of course. Look at him. why would you not? I mean, he's the perfect prom date, I think. He's charming, he's sweet, everything is great about that answer. All right, so tonight we will get to hear these stories now out loud. So here is A Prom Story by Jane Salvador and performed by Vegas K. Jarrow.
A Prom Story. There is so much media in American culture that revolves around prom. High school movies, high school TV shows, literally anything related to high school has a requisite prom theme. Spring 2005. I'm a senior in high school and too emotionally snarky and distant to want to go to prom. I saw myself as a daughter of Morgendorfer, though I didn't have the combat boots or skirt to match. In fact, I hardly ever wore skirts or anything that seemed remotely feminine. I approached the idea of prom with much aloofness. I didn't care for it, too cool for it, and so deep in the closet that I couldn't even fathom asking someone, much less someone asking me. By the time March rolled around, I assumed I wasn't going to go. I had already thought of what I was going to do instead. Read stories on fanfiction.net or finally continue that original story I had stewing around on random scraps of loose leaf, essentially an adolescent knockoff of Final Fantasy story. I may not have plans for prom, but that didn't mean my mother didn't. I don't remember how the conversation came about. All I remember was being verbally strong-armed into going to the Queen Center Mall of Macy's to look at prom dresses, or dresses in general. When is your prom happening? Not sure, sometime in June? How could you not know? I don't know, I don't think I want to go. What are you talking about? Of course you're going to go. As an adult, it's easy to forget how little autonomy young people have over themselves and their personal lives. I think this is doubly true for children of conservative Filipino immigrant parents who live in apartments in the five boroughs. A home isn't a home unless there's a giant portrait of the Last Supper standing in front of the mannequin decked out in flowery dresses, a magenta and bright blue. I remember a sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach and a slight tightness in my chest that I could not understand to be gender dysphoria until decades later. The dread of looking at dresses and the thought of me being in them made me feel so uncomfortable. Memories of being a five-year-old crying before having to wear a frilly, itchy dress for a party I didn't even care about came flooding back. Aren't these dresses great? You should pick one, my mom said. Had I been braver, armed with the proper verbiage, I would have asked for a suit or a tuxedo of some kind. But I knew she wasn't going to have given that a second thought. Girls wore dresses and boys wore suits. I don't know, maybe something just plain and black, I said half-heartedly. A simple black dress, size 6, which I've not been since. And I looked like I was ready for a funeral, but I didn't care. I just wanted it over with. I looked at myself in the dressing room with mostly a smirk, trying to look like I felt normal to be in a dress. Behind me, my mother, her eyes looked joyful. Eventually, plans were made with a group of friends. Some were nerds like me, but most of us were in Key Club, the group where the main point of joining is community service. I initially joined because it was a good excuse to get out of the house outside of school hours. There was only one couple, Han and Terrence. The rest were just friends. No dates, no boyfriends, just hanging out. Things were set up for a limo to be rented. No idea who rented it. We were all picked up from our houses by the limo. I didn't realize how many of my classmates lived in East Elmhurst or Jackson Heights. Eventually, we all made it to Terrence in the Park, what I like to call the Titan's Tower, because it was just a huge T-shaped building in Flushing Meadows Park. It seemed so cool on the outside, but on the inside, it was a typical event space. It looked very much like a place where someone would have their wedding or Sweet 16. I had imagined something modern and slick, maybe decked out with expensive brick or millennial gray. Instead, it had to be fake beige marble accent pillars, along with linoleum flooring, also made to look like marble. I hadn't really known what the setup for prom might be, but I knew that I would feel uncomfortable considering I wasn't much of a dancer, and dancing by high school standards was just grinding. The night was a blur of dinner and some awkward dancing. Terrence was a Filipino like me, and he quickly brought me to the dance floor, where he twirled me around for a short while before I decided I wanted to sit back down. I thought it was nice of him to bring me out onto the dance floor, but I just felt awkward. It felt strange to be in the crowd, moving around, trying to imitate and follow along with what he was doing. Moving around in a dress I didn't want to be in, I was only pretending to have fun, while everyone else earnestly seemed to be. Once I sat down, I looked over at the teacher chaperones dancing with each other, which I thought was strange. as I would never see, I could never have thought of them in a setting outside of the classroom. Later that evening, I also watched everyone group dance the electric slide. I was a hipster before being a hipster was a thing. I hated the music, but decided to shuffle around the dance floor occasionally with some of my singleton friends. I felt a little out of place with all the sitting I had been doing. Hipsters wanted to be included too. Some photos were taken up with other friends, some of which still survive in old Facebook posts. And were all taken by someone else's older brother in their mid-90s Land Rover by midnight. I was never much of a party person. And the next day at the school, some kids went up to me and said, "Oh, I heard you were in a dress and you look like a church girl." The embarrassment of me calling a church girl was unbearable. Oh God, just kill me now. Hey, do you even exist? I'm surprised you went to prom. I thought you were going to stay home. So did I. Did you like prom? Man, I hate you all. I mustered a fake smile. Yeah, it was okay. I hate this dumb Usher song, though. Yeah, it was so overplayed. The guest leader song was also whack. As a teen, I couldn't figure out why my mother was so adamant about having me go to prom, despite my lack of desire. With the experience of adulthood, I see that she had never had the experience of growing up and thinking that she wanted me to have what she didn't. She grew up in a very poor family in what was once a rural area in the northern Philippines. She rarely talks about her past, but I assume she had some sort of filial duty to deal with, which meant she could not go to her what she would call junior-senior prom. She came from a poor family and was sent away at the age of 8 to take care of her much younger cousins. Think Jane Eyre, but worse because it was a colonized country. I think she wanted to know I was experiencing something she couldn't. I suppose it's good to have memories of prom, and it was nice not to have had the internal pressure to perform or look good. I was at prom for reasons that weren't entirely my own, and didn't have a date to worry about. I was responsible for the fun I had, and should have let myself go a little more, feeling a little less scared on the dance floor, and could open up just cutting things loose and letting things happen. If I could do it differently, I would have gotten the suit, though I don't think I would have been able to handle all the stares and questions that are coming from my peers. People like to think that living in NYC is progressive, but folks forget that there are pockets of conservatism everywhere, especially if one's parents are from a conservative country. Mm-hmm. Even though I knew that my city was a liberal place, it definitely didn't feel that way as I was growing up. It's hard for a teenager to not only have an authentic voice, but also be unafraid to use it. I couldn't imagine myself being able to break away from my mother's sphere of influence as a teen. Now that I'm grown, it's nice to see how much I've changed. I attended a 20-year high school reunion several weeks ago. It was good to see the people I went to school with now that I'm a person I want to be, free of the closeted, rigid gender norms, and in a profession that is able to sustain my life, high school English teacher of all things. I saw some familiar and unfamiliar faces, had some beer, ate some snacks, and did some small talk. The senior class president, who I think is now in real estate, said, you know, you were so cute in high school, and if I knew you were interested in guys, I would have asked you out. I looked up incredulously, flatly replying, "Oh, really? That's kind of funny." And filled my glass and near my picture. It's always funny to me when a man admits a crush of some sort of attraction, because I never expected it. I accessed my gayness was very obvious then too, despite my efforts to conform. I was feeling anxiety and the constant pit of worry that came with being a teenager for me. There was a raffle to win a Labubu. I didn't win. Another person asked if I did coke. I responded diplomatically, "If you'd only caught me 5 years ago, I would have said yes. But just for fun. Not into the coke mood doing well right now." Someone else just passed around a blunt that I did partake in. Fortunately, weed makes me anxious. So before I left before sunset, went straight to my apartment, and cleaned up as if my mom was coming over. Some things you just can't really outgrow. In this case, the fear of being a parent yelling at you for having unkempt space. In the 20 years since prom night, I've grown and I've changed as a person. And I couldn't imagine as a high schooler. I have a place of my own, I work a job that is mostly fulfilling, but incredibly exhausting. and don't keep social connections that don't bring me joy. Mm-hmm. As a teen, I couldn't envision what adulthood could be like, what freedom truly is, being free from worry of what other people think and see you. Prom wasn't the be-all and end-all of adolescent life. It's just a blip in the pattern of one's life, another signpost with which to compare oneself, a bookend to high school and teenage life, and a memory to take into adulthood.
Thank you. You guys change places now. Vegas, come join me here in the hot seat. Thank you. Thank you so much for your wonderful reading.
Thank you.
And now we get to hear your story.
Yeah.
So, again, according to your... He's like, yeah. Yeah. Terror comes into his eyes. So, again, a little bit from your story. I don't want to give too much away, but also from your bio. You worked for many years at the Queens Public Library.
Yes, yes. 15 years. I had a whole life pretty much... flash before me, you know.
So again, not to traumatize you, but do you have any good stories from your time as a librarian or in the library?
I think like there's many stories of patrons coming in. I think my funny story was someone came up to me and said, I'm looking for the book Namasaki. And it took me like 3 seconds to be like, the namesake,
you know, the
namesake. I was like, wait a minute, give me the name. And it was kind of things like that, like people mispronouncing things or like coming into the library, like things would be totally off. Like,
amazing. But you translated.
Yeah,
it's good.
Translated. Yeah.
All right, pick a question. All right. Yeah, I will read it for you.
Yeah.
All right. At our first story meeting, before you read each other's first drafts aloud and received feedback to help inform your revisions, everyone shared what they were nervous about and excited about becoming part of Know You Tell It. Now that we're here at the show, what are you nervous about? What are you excited about?
Just hearing back my words, I'm a little nervous about, but I'm excited about it as well because I think it's interesting to have like that reflection. So it's going to be interesting, yeah.
Definitely. Amazing. Sure, yeah. Well, we'll let that happen.
Yeah.
So, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Switching it up, here is Prom Night 1996 by Vegas K. Jaro and performed by James Salvador.
Prom Night 1996. I was born Vijay Ramanathan, also known as Vijay R. Nathan. At some point in the distant past, I felt pressured to perform to the expectations of others. Like I was an actor on a stage, and the responses I got from others were the applause or validation I needed to know I was doing the right thing. My second personality was born in the buildup to senior prom night in early summer 1996. Let's be clear, junior prom was fine. We had a prom, which I helped plan as one of the student government officials. That year, the officers all got together and planned out a cruise around Manhattan for the juniors of Tottenville High School. I had a special night as I talked with the other officers, and even though most of the class was not in attendance. This felt very close-knit. I felt these years helped me understand that I could have an impact on the mainstream experience, even if it was not in the manner in which I would prefer. Everyone wants to impact everyone, and the herd experience is a dominant experience. But sometimes, if you yourself have a good experience and share it with your close allies and compatriots, then you've succeeded in your attempt to guide the mainstream narrative. I was not a cool kid any more than any Indian American kid would be considered cool. I considered myself more a nerd in the sense that I was high achieving and very self-directed in my goals. I had made efforts to establish the very ambitious Night at the Theater, a non-musical drama of two one-act plays, with me directing No Exit by Jean-Paul Sartre, and my friend H directing A Zoo Story by Edward Albee. I also tried to start a Model UN at the school. Neither of these efforts met with much success. I also held various positions within the student government, but did not pursue that activity in my senior year, since much of the class had run that final year, and I knew I didn't stand much of a chance with so much competition. I was also involved in more mainstream high school theater activities, although as part of the ensemble and not the main player. Despite this, I was nominated by my peers for most likely to succeed at the school. One blonde girl, by the name of Elle, who had chosen me to talk during the downtime of classes, inspired me to send her a small bear and anonymous Valentine greeting. When she gave me the cold shoulder after the greeting was delivered, I didn't have the courage to directly claim it was me, nor ask her why she was so brutal about it. According to sources close to Elle, she had not liked that I had made it anonymous, but also, she just wasn't interested in me in that way. Obviously, she was not the ideal candidate for prom. I hoped she would find a good therapist to talk to in the future. And I went about my business of finding a date for prom. When it came time to ask someone, I stayed true to my instincts, which were to ask whomever I was talking to at the time to prom. I asked a girl in my video class who declined but told me I'd go places in the world. She was content to get a job at the local library where she volunteered. As the future would have it, I ended up doing 15 years at the public library. I will say this was quite a flattering rejection. This inspiration for a job haven for so long carried with it the curse of my own ambition to do and be more than just a librarian. I then asked my friend and collaborator H, who was philosophically against proms and the dominant culture. She was confused when I asked her and used the excuse that since she was not my first choice, which she figured out even though I tried to lie about that, she would stay true to her philosophy and decline. H and I had a good friendship. She was the one who introduced me to poetry and gifted me with a Four American Poets book that included Walt Whitman, Emily Dickinson, Robert Frost, and Wallace Stevens. I realized I should lean into the dominant culture and try my best to be political about my choice of prom date. So I asked M, who was a junior at the time, but many of the theater group in the limo had joined. She said yes, of course, to help me out of my difficult spot and just to enjoy the evening herself. I was exhausted after attempting to bring so many fellow students to prom and was glad to have received an acceptance. I had multiple groups of friends over the 4 years in high school. It was only in my last year that I began to become closer to the drama clique. They were, as many of my friends indicated, a bad influence on me, as far as being a high achiever and self-directed thinker. They were also a redirect away from my traditional trajectory, which makes my second personality emerge at this early stage. My second personality was one who tried to influence and have an impact on the dominant culture. Unlike H, I was interested in energy exchanges with the dominant culture, believing there to be a place for innovative thinkers to make a path for the herd to follow if they were charismatic enough or charming enough. An elementary school teacher had told me, "You can't get through life in charm alone." But that statement seemed to teach me the exact opposite of its obvious contextual formation. I decided this teacher didn't know what she was talking about, and I showed her that I could get away on charm alone. Which is not to say I was born charming, or that I had achieved something akin to charming, or that I had charm thrust upon me. Sometimes you just practice charming until you are charming. I kissed the Blarney Stone on my junior year trip to Ireland, and well, that's all I have to say on that. There's a certain magic or understanding that comes with ancient traditions that cannot be translated into a mere common tongue. I trust the process. At the pre-party, we took pictures for the prom, and my date, M, was invited by her mother to show them your slit, M, referring to the cut in her dress, which required her to spread her legs as to maximize the display of the dress's features in the photograph. The arrangement of the date with M felt very arranged, like my parents' marriage, only surprisingly less successful. M felt very accustomed to the limelight and attention, whereas I was a foreigner to the spotlight, yearning for it, but never receiving its full embrace. The yearning is what made the second personality all the more salient and delayed its full birth until years later. We didn't really talk much that night, and when the ceremonies began, M ran away very quickly to dance and be with a group of students present at the festivities. One of my good friends at the time, A, was also at the prom. And after a while of sitting around and listening to speeches, we navigated our way out of Manhattan, where prom was taking place. I have faint memories of that night, of wandering into a subway station, chugging from a champagne bottle, and trying out an old Irish trick to delay vomiting by massaging the lymph nodes in your head. I personally feel the prom was a great way to either begin an acculturation into dominant narratives about what we should be in our society, or a chance to know what we could be in our society when your acculturation hits the kind of snags that I experienced. When it comes to drugs and alternative states of consciousness, high schoolers are ill-equipped to understand all the nuances of their own experience. And yet, I wonder if I had been more mature, or if I was able to navigate the nuances of the experience, I would be light years ahead of my peers and probably a different person. By the time I reunited with my prom date, it was late in the evening, and M was talking about her disappointment that someone had offered her Buddha to smoke up with them. And it was just marijuana and not something cooler. I had been born as Vijay Ramanathan. But at that moment, I felt a kick of my second personality. I feel sure that had I discovered marijuana with M that night, I would have been able to sell it as cooler. But alas, that was a missed moment that probably would have taken a lot of work to set up on my part. I wondered if we had smoked together, if I could have elevated M's experience with my own understanding of non-ordinary states of consciousness that was beginning to emerge from readings of the existentialists and other philosophies that challenge normative thinking. But of course, these are all silly dreams of a high school student who desperately wants to connect and be influential over the experience of others, rather than having their own experience guided by the norms of the masses, read as asses. If we are to explore the narratives, we will find that we can only find ourselves, whether we are looking back or seeking what's to come, all those lines connect. At the end of the rainbow is who we are at the core. Prom is a significant rite of passage from high school, where we are guided to a more self-directed schooling in college or other alternative entry into adulthood. For me, going to Vassar challenged me. Suffice to say, the lineage that features a professor I met in my college years later ties itself back to many eons of my own genealogy of seekers and liberators who sought to integrate rather than destroy the dominant narrative, to influence rather than become engulfed in the ocean of nectar of experiences that are to be had in life. From now on, I'm committed to higher paths that require clearly building off hard work and dedication to specific payoffs. If I had worked to connect with M, my prom date, and smoke Buddha with her, who knows what doors might have opened, whether they be doors of perception or not. I feel this missed chance was one that gave birth to my new expression of self, Vegas K. Jarrow, and for him to recover from and create a new path for myself and my agency for people who want to strive higher in life and enjoy their trip while they're here.
That's it. Thanks for joining us for this installment of Know You Tell It.
Visit us on the web at knowyoutellit.com.